From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called The Ruinous Power of Unconfessed Sin. The book is basically the history of Israel's backsliding. As with all forms of spiritual decline, Israel's problem was sin. As they learn to their cost, sin always has consequences. Backsliding always begins in the area of sanctity, failure to stay in close communion with God. The pattern of Israel's turning to false gods reveals that those who do not serve the living God end up serving the devil. Israel desired to be like the heathen around them rather than being regarded as peculiar. Yet the Lord always holds his people to the standard of his word, and sin never goes unnoticed or unjudged. Thankfully, there is a way back through the confession of sin, contrition before God, and the cleansing of Christ's blood. In response to Israel's repentance, God gave them a great commander in the form of Jephthah, a man filled with the Spirit. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the closing portion of The Ruinous Power of Unconfessed Sin. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Covered and Protected. The text is Psalm 91 and verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, a condescending simile indeed. Just as a hen protects her brood and allows them to nestle under her wings, so will the Lord defend his people and permit them to hide away in him. Have we not seen the little chicks peeping out from under the mother's feathers? Have we not heard their little cry of contented joy? In this way, let us shelter ourselves in our God and feel overflowing peace in knowing that he is guarding us. While the Lord covers us, we trust. It would be strange if we did not. How can we distrust when Jehovah himself becomes house and home, refuge and rest to us? This done, we go out to war in his name and enjoy the same guardian care. We need shield and buckler. And when we implicitly trust God, even as the chick trusts the hen, we find his truth arming us from head to foot. The Lord cannot lie. He must be faithful to his people. His promise must stand. This sure truth is all the shield we need. Behind it we defy the fiery darts of the enemy. Come, my soul, hide under those great wings. Lose thyself among those soft feathers. How happy thou art!
I seek your guidance for the day. I find my thoughts unyielding. Confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new. I claim them for today. Protect me. rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me, your love will forgive me, and when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Each new day's design is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow. Still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me, your love will forgive me, and when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Thank you. I don't know if you have in your mind at all a picture of a map of Israel. You see the Jordan River coming down north to south. The Ammonites are on the other side, Jordan. They're in the eastern segment. 2.5 tribes were up there, the northern part of that eastern segment. The Ammonites started attacking the 2.5 tribes. And for 18 years held them in bondage. And then they got strong and they crossed the Jordan and they began to come against Judah. And Ephraim, those on the western side of Jordan. Ah, but watch it, at the same time they were being oppressed by the Philistines coming in from the southwest, so that you have this great pincer movement from both sides. You have these enemies, and the Ammonites were just as much enemies of the Philistines as they were each of the Israelites. But you can see they are both being used as they squeeze the children of Israel from every direction. They are in bondage. What a bondage it is. What a picture, too. What a picture for the backslider. When you turn your back on the Lord, if you're a Christian, there will be bondage, never blessing. It's one of the marks of a person who's genuinely saved. If they turn away from following the Lord, they can never be at peace in themselves. And from all directions, they are hemmed in. There is this awful feeling that I can't turn in any direction, but I'm facing something terrible. That's what was happening to Israel. And it always happens. Sin brings bondage. What a picture. I said there was a warning here for our church. There is. When you look at that description of the children of Israel, remember what you have is a picture of this church or any church that loses out with God. It loses the power to conquer and rather is presented as a spent force because of sin. Now you tell me quite honestly, is that not an objective and honest picture of evangelicalism in America today? We can get into our theological camps. I happen to be Reformed and Protestant, but there are others, and they are not Reformed. They're Arminian, and they're dispensational, and they're... Look, you can get into your theological camps. It's true of every single one of them. And I don't care whether you're Presbyterian, Reformed Presbyterian, Baptist, Reformed Baptist, or whatever. It's true of every one of them, as far as the overall grouping goes. Thank God there are individual bright spots. But you look at what's happening in America today. Look at what's happening in Britain today. If you could understand what's going on in the land of England, the land that gave the world to a large extent the blessings that it now enjoys, and you would see the church, as far as having a national impact is concerned, appears to be a spent force. Here's the reason. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I would certainly recommend that you take, well, the whole book of Deuteronomy, but 27 and 28, and read them carefully. 28 is a long chapter, but it's worth reading. Here's the promise of God to his people. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. That was the promise. Now then, come to verse 25, and then 43 and 44. This is, if there is a going after other gods, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, that thou go out
one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. 43:44. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Total reversal of roles. Now you tell me, is that what has happened in Christendom? Was there not a time in England? Was there not a time in this country when preachers preached, the nation listened? Today, nobody cares 2 cents what any preacher has to say. I'm talking now about the generality of people. But tell them what some corrupted, licentious sodomite of a Hollywood actor has to say. Yes, that's important. That's important. Tell them what some conniving, time-serving, pocket-lining politician has to say. That's important. But the church, unfortunately, in their view, has to be tolerated, petted because of the Constitution. But as for having any real impact, its only impact is to be used as a political puppet to motivate a right-wing vote for conniving, using politicians. The reason is not with the politicians. The reason is with the church herself. It wasn't the strength of the Philistines that brought Israel to be the tail and not the head. It wasn't the might of the Ammonites. It was the sin of Israel. And when God's people have lost out with him, when God's church has lost out with him, when it's got so bound up with human respectability that it's lost the vision of God, it's lost the burden of the Lord, it's lost the zeal for prayer, it's lost the mighty agonies of soul that once it had in the secret place, when that happens, it becomes the tail and not the head. And that is the judgment of God. But thank God there's a way back. And I quickly finish with this. The way back is the way of repentance. And you know, there is a lovely picture here of repentance. First of all, there's confession. No argument, no excuses. We have sinned. Confession. Verse 15, there's contrition. This is the mark. You know, whether you're a sinner or a saint coming to the Lord for cleansing, this is the mark, always. Real contrition. We have sinned. Do thou unto us what seemeth good unto thee. Only deliver us, we pray thee. The mark of true repentance is a contrite heart that says, Lord, whatever you do is right. I bow in absolute surrender. Confession, contrition. Then there was a cleansing. Verse 16, they put away the strange gods from among them. There's no repentance while you're wanting to hang on to sin. There's no repentance while you're trying to do a deal with God. They put away the strange gods. That was their repentance. But notice verse 16. If this verse weren't in here, it would be a very sad chapter. Because you see, the Lord had said to them, go to the gods that you turned to. You've turned away from me. Well, on your way. It sounded like a dismissal. In actual fact, it was but the rough speech that was meant to make them feel their sin the more and hurry to their knees. because at the end of verse 16 we read of the Lord, his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel, the compassion of the Savior. The result was that the Lord provided them with a spirit-filled commander. We look at him in due course, a man by the name of Jephthah. One of the very few in the book of Judges upon whom it is said the Spirit of the Lord came. The Lord gave them a spirit-filled commander. He gave them a glorious deliverance from all their enemies. Now this is the message of hope. For he'll do it for this church. We can have God's blessing. What that entails for us, where it will lead us, that is up to the Lord, but we can have God's blessing in this church. There's a message for every backslider. The Lord's soul is grieved for the bondage that you're in. And there's forgiveness with the Lord that he may be feared. There is a message for every sinner. Where there's confession, contrition, a repentance that turns from sin to the Lord of glory and pleads for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, thank God there is forgiveness and there is complete acceptance. I trust tonight that out of this dark, dark passage of Scripture, we will receive God's warning and God's word. A word to direct us out of sin to the Savior. A word to get us out of bondage into blessing. A word that will bring us all tonight to our knees before God in an honest prayer of seeking his best, his will, and his glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. And after the feeble voice of man is silent, Lord, speak on by the gracious Spirit of God to every heart. Oh God, we pray, produce fruit for the preaching of thy word. Save souls. Restore the backslidden in heart. Revive thy church. Lord, give us power to serve thee effectively in this day of sin and shame. Help us, Lord, to realize the greatest scandal in the country is our sin, and enable us tonight to flee that, to come to the fountain of blood, and truly, earnestly, fully follow the Lord. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. And bring us into the fullness of thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.